Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Mr. Humble at your service. It's always a pleasure to be with you, especially when I get to talk to our good friend Ken Crozen. Ken is an intellectual property attorney and a partner at Foley & Lardner in Washington, D.C., and many of you have heard me over the years, and I know I've done this before when Ken's here, but I always like to do this. Folks, many of you have heard me in the past talk about different ways that I've talked about bringing small businesses' heads and small business owners' heads out of the 20th century into the 21st century. And Ken Crozen is one of the guys who helps me do that through some of the research that he's done. I use some of the information that he's produced in some of his research, and it helps me a lot. And that's how I first got to know Ken, was through his research. And then we hunted him down. We found him. And, you know, you can run, but you can't hide from us. And so we found Ken, and he's been gracious enough to be back on the show several times, and he's with us now. Ken, welcome back to the show.
Hi, good morning, Jim. How are you?
We're great. It's good to have you here. You know, Ken, we're sort of like the Hotel California. You can check out anytime you want, but you can never leave. You've got some things. You've been observing some cases in that the Supreme Court has been hearing, some patent issues that you're interested in, and not only interested, but you're concerned about them. And what I'd like to get you to do is tell my audience a little bit about these cases. Let's go through some of the issues and a little bit of the details, and then we'll get into what you consider to be some of the controversy. And by the way, we have covered the Research in Motion case on the show before. Everybody listening may not be familiar with it, but just to give you an idea of some of the stuff we've done in the past, we have covered the Research in Motion case that was heard, what was it, about 4 to 6 months ago or something like that, I think.
Right. Well, let me give you just a little bit of background, Jim. Back in the late 60s, early 70s, the patent system was in significant danger because the courts around the country had basically come to the conclusion that patents were evil monopolies. And the judges, and these are the regional district courts, the regional circuit courts, they had basically come to the conclusion that these evil monopolies were bad for the economy. But what they really didn't understand was that from a standpoint of economics, you've got to have a strong patent system in order to encourage people to innovate, to spend money, to make their inventions. To take the risk. And if you don't have a strong patent system, by the way, the patent system is in the U.S. Constitution. It goes back to the founding of the country. And it's sort of an appropriate thing to talk about, this being, you know, right after the 4th of July. So, in any event, there was this period of time which was very serious challenge to the viability of the patent system because of this attitude by the courts. Well, the U.S. Congress, in its wisdom, did something about it. They created something called the United States Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit, which is the appeal court that handles all of the appeals from around the district courts in the country in patent infringement cases. And this court, from its very outset in 1982, was considered to be very pro-patent. And as a result of rulings by that court, the patent system was greatly strengthened. Believed after that court started issuing these opinions that the patent system was strong again. Well, things have gone along in that vein for 2.5 decades now, but what has happened recently is that the Supreme Court has undertaken to what, in my view, is to undermine the patent system. And they've come out with a new decision a couple of weeks ago called eBay versus Merck Exchange. And one of the founding principles of the patent system is that a patent owner can get an injunction, a permanent injunction against somebody else using the intellectual property of the patent owner. What the U.S. Supreme Court did in the Merck Exchange case was basically to say that permanent injunctions shall not be automatically granted in patent infringement cases. So what that means is that you have a patent, you go out and sue somebody for infringing your patent, you might be able to collect damages for past infringement, but you cannot any longer prevent that infringer from using your patent in the future.
So if I just to as we go to a break here in a few seconds, Ken, if I have a patent, there was a time when I could not only ultimately maybe I could always sue, but maybe get redress from you. I could collect some money from you for using my patent, but I could stop you from using it until we could sort it out.
That's correct. But that's no longer the case, Jim.
But the new case the Supreme Court just passed down in eBay versus Merck Exchange puts that concept in jeopardy, and we're going to get Ken to help us with that right after these messages. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. I was a dandy. Yeah. We're back at 17 till. Those are the magic fingers of Mark Knopfler. He's the singer, lead guitarist, and leader of Dire Straits, a great English band. Welcome back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. Ken Crozen is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, and he's one of the top intellectual property attorneys on the planet, and a guy that I look to for a lot of the information that I get on intellectual property. And Ken, you were just telling us about this case with eBay versus Merck Exchange, where Merck Exchange believed they held a patent. eBay was using that property, and Merck Exchange had a problem with it, took them to court, and to try to get them to stop using it, and of course the purpose of getting them to stop using it is so that you have some leverage to get them to come to the table and negotiate with you to either buy you out or whatever. Because I don't, was Merck Exchange actually using the property, or were they just holding it?
Well, it was Merck Exchange's patent, and they sued eBay and another company called Halfcom for infringing on the patent. And the damages were awarded, but the real issue in this case was what happens going forward. And the Federal Circuit's policy has been, because it's been a very strong pro-patent court, the policy has been that if you infringe somebody else's patent, then you can get what's called a permanent injunction against that person from infringing your patent. And that means that they can't use your invention. The Supreme Court in the eBay case basically said that's incorrect law. The law of the Federal Circuit that's been on the books for the past 25 years is incorrect law, and that an injunction is not automatic in a patent infringement case.
Now, let's make sure we separate this, because when I think of an injunction, I think of getting you to stop using my property, in this case, for example, until we can sort it out in the courts. And so that puts the infringer out of business with regard to my property until we can work something out.
Well, you're talking about, Jim, is something called a I'm sorry to interrupt you. What you're talking about is something called a preliminary injunction.
Okay.
And a preliminary injunction is different. And what happens there is if you sue somebody for infringing your patent, you can ask the court to issue a preliminary injunction that will basically stop them from using your invention during the course of the litigation up until the time that the case is finally decided.
And is that still available?
That is still available. It's not easy to get. You have to meet certain burdens of proof. But what I'm talking about is completely different. What I'm talking about is you sue somebody for infringing your patent, and you go through a trial, and at the end of the trial, a jury or judge conclusively determines that this guy is infringing your patent, okay? So that decision is final. It might even go up to appeal to this court, the Federal Circuit, and they've determined that there's infringement. infringement. That's the final decision. Then the issue is, what kind of remedy do you get? Okay,
right.
Well, the law has been for the last 25 years for sure that you can get damages for the past infringement, and then going forward into the future, you can actually stop that person from using your patent.
That's what the ruling means, isn't it? If you win the case, that means that you get control of the property.
That's no longer the case, Jim.
Okay, so what you're saying is that the Supreme Court recently said, even though Merck Exchange proved that they owned the patent to this particular device, this particular piece of intellectual property, even though they proved that they owned it, they still couldn't stop eBay from using it?
That's correct.
That sounds like something that would happen in the Sudan or in Russia or China, not in the United States.
Well, in my view, I'm not sure what's going on over there, Jim, but I think that this is an incredible change in the law that will undermine the value of patents. And let me give you one quick example, right? Immediately after the eBay case was decided, a court in Texas issued an opinion in a suit brought by a company called Z4, Z as in Z, Z4, against Microsoft. And in that case, Z4 owned the patent. They sued Microsoft for infringing the patent on Z4's software. It was an application software that's used in Microsoft's Office product, and it's also in its operating system software.
Mm-hmm.
XP software. Z4 unquestionably owned the patent. Z4 was found to have Microsoft was found to have infringed the patent. The district court in Texas just a few weeks ago issued this opinion, which said that based upon the eBay case, it would not issue an injunction against Microsoft from infringing Z4's patent. Now, Z4 is in the business of selling this product. Now, it's a small company. It's going up against Microsoft. Let me ask you and your listeners what they think is going to happen in the marketplace. Do they think that Microsoft is basically going to be able to put this company out of business in an instant if they want to by continuing to sell its infringing products?
Now, let me put this in perspective for everybody, Ken, for a second. 55% of all innovations in America come from small businesses. If what you're telling us now prevails, and it sounds like it's being proliferated through other courts based on what you just told us about Texas, if this is the case, then the innovation in America is going to get squelched.
Well, I think it's a very serious blow, and in my view, since it's a decision by the Supreme Court, the only real solution is to get Congress to legislate that permanent injunctions shall automatically be granted in patent infringement cases.
It sounds like Congress is once again going to have to get involved in reversing some decisions of the Supreme Court. This isn't the only area the Supreme Court has wandered off into the weeds on. When we come back, I'm going to ask Ken if we need to make sure that we separate some defendants, or some plaintiffs, I should say, from the patent trolls. We're going to get Ken to tell us what a patent troll is right after these messages. It's Tintel. Stay with me. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and that's Hart bringing us back in. Ken Crozen is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's an attorney and partner with the law firm Foley & Lardner out of Washington, D.C. They're intellectual property attorneys. And Ken, I can't wait for your book. When is your new book coming out?
Well, as soon as I can get around to finishing it, Jim.
Well, when you get
like
it done,
a lot of other authors.
I know what you mean. When you get it done, I can't wait to get my copy, and I expect to launch it on this show. Folks, when we went to the break, we're talking about I use the term patent troll, and Ken, I wonder if the Supreme Court in their decision isn't reacting to what they consider to be a patent troll. And here's my definition. If I'm a small business owner and I'm an inventor and I'm a patent, I've found some patents and all I want to do is invent. And there are a lot of people out there like that. They don't want to make anything. They just want to invent things. And so they come up with a gadget and they go through the process and they've got pretty good at coming up with patents. And they got a sack full of patents and they keep working on it. Well, if they take those patents to market and they try to sell it to folks and license it and all that sort of thing, that's what makes America great. But then there are people there who are what are called patent trolls. And these are people who may not create those patents. They may just acquire them, and then they sit on them and wait for somebody to infringe on them. And then they, instead of going to market with them, they go to court with them. Now, that's my definition of a troll. What do you think?
I think that that's a good definition of a troll, and it's one that has been used the last couple of years to define exactly the kind of person that you're talking about, either somebody who goes out and just acquires patents and sits under the bridge waiting for the person right. to come across the bridge to collect their duty, you know.
Which is not unlike what was done to Research in Motion. If I'm not mistaken, the company that took them to court was kind of, they would probably be considered to be a troll, and they almost shut down all the BlackBerry users out there. But do you believe that the Supreme Court is reacting to the sort of a negative reaction to what they consider to be trolls?
No question, Jim. No question. Matter of fact, in the decision by the Supreme Court, which was written by Mr. Justice Thomas, and it was, I should say, a unanimous decision mm-hmm. by all nine justices. There were a couple of concurring opinions. One of them was written by Mr. Justice Kennedy, and he made a reference. He didn't use the term patent trolls, but he made reference to the kind of situation you're talking about, situations where patents are granted on inventions, and he referred to, for example, these business method patents, which have come into vogue in the last several years. And he basically said that in this concurring opinion that there's a reason why permanent injunctions should not be granted for situations like that. But the problem, in my view, Jim, is that the Supreme Court has thrown out the baby with the bathwater.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm talking about there is that you might have a few bad apples in the bunch, but that doesn't mean you throw out the whole bushel. And what the Supreme Court has done by this eBay decision, in my view, is to basically put the small companies who are trying to get out there in the marketplace and compete with the big guys at risk, because if they can't stop the big guy that takes their property, and it is property, if they can't stop the big guy from doing that, then they're at risk from being beaten into the ground by the big guy, even after they've proven to a court or to a jury that their patent is valid, enforceable, and infringed.
For a little company without a lot of capital, without the ability to fight this to the nth degree, the injunction is the only leverage they have, really, isn't it?
Right, and what the district court in Texas said in the Z4 case is that the adequate remedy for Z4 would be a reasonable royalty, which can be determined at some point in the future. And the court was persuaded by the fact that Microsoft wasn't going to be going out of business anytime mm-hmm. in the near future, and that it would be able to pay the reasonable royalties.
But they took the bargaining power away from the small company.
Completely.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah, sure, Microsoft could throw them a few pennies here and there, but maybe not what it's worth, because if they don't have the permanent injunction capability, they don't have any reason to come back to the table, do they?
Not in my view.
Yeah. Well, Ken, this is I appreciate you bringing this to. What do you think the chances are? Is anybody in Congress looking to bring this up?
Well, the decision is so new, Jim. It's only been out since May that I'm not sure that it's really got any congressmen focused on it
right.
yet. Of course, it's the summer, recess and that kind of stuff.
Well, but keep us posted on what you're hearing so we can get involved if we need to.
Okay, Jim.
Thank you, Ken. And that's give us your website, please, Foley & Lardner.
Okay. It's www.foley.com.
All right. Thank you, Ken. Thank you for
all
that.
Right,
Ken Crozier, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you a lot. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be back on the other side of the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.